Well, we're on the phone with Marty Shaw, Executive Director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. Marty, the EPA has released the final RFS volumes, and from what I'm reading in your news release here, you're not real happy with them.
Well, we think the EPA really, you know, missed an opportunity here, and by buying into the big oil spin on this thing, they really rolled out some numbers today that hurt consumers. It hurt consumers' ability to have choices at the pump, and really it's going to be bad for farmers and the rural economy as well.
Now, we've seen differing reactions, although I will say most of them, I think, have been negative. Some people saying, well, you know, it's better than what they proposed earlier, and others saying, well, it's not close to what there should be.
I mean, as a factual statement, I suppose you could say that they're better than what they proposed earlier, but what they proposed earlier, I mean, that's what you call faint praise. Look, at IRFA, we've always had a policy of just telling it like it is. And the bottom line is, this is going to do nothing to break through the blend wall, especially when you factor in the carryover RINs from previous years that have been put in the little RIN piggy bank and are sitting there that the EPA did not use when setting these numbers. So the oil companies are going to be comfortably under the 10% number when you factor that in. And for biodiesel, you know, folks say, well, the numbers go up, and they do. But when you factor in the Argentinian imports, which the EPA green-lighted earlier this year, they would more than offset what's coming in this year, would more than offset the increases in the biodiesel numbers. So in reality, you could. I mean, I can't predict the future with certainty, but you could, by balancing those two things out, see a reduction in U.S. biodiesel under these numbers. So I think that the EPA missed the mark. And quite frankly, on the ethanol side, did it in contravention to what's in the law, and quite frankly will probably face a lawsuit.
Yeah, that was my next question. What do you expect to happen next?
I don't vote on these things, right? I do what the industry tells me to do. But I would be shocked if there were not serious people in the industry, whether that be companies or associations, that feel that no matter how you don't want to, no choice but to sue the EPA for going beyond the authority granted to them by Congress. You know, whether you love the RFS or hate the RFS, it's the law of the land. And there's some very specific provisions in there on what the EPA can and can't do. And with this rule today, particularly on the corn ethanol number, they just ignored what Congress put in the law. They ignored the congressional history of how it got there and made up their own numbers. And I think you just can't let them do that. So we need to take a serious look at that. Those are time-consuming and costly endeavors and not to be undertaken lightly. But really, I think if that rationale is allowed to stand, you've essentially ripped the heart out of the RFS. So if we want to defend the RFS as a policy tool going forward, there's going to be some real strong consideration of that.
Let me ask this. How important is the RFS now? I mean, is it still a driver, or is the industry mature enough to stand on its own and grow here?
Yeah, and that really depends on which segment of the industry you're talking about. You know, it's very much a driver for cellulosic ethanol. And, you know, we've started up some plants in Iowa and around the country. And if we're going to see that process continue, then they're going to need to step up the RFS. It's also very important to biodiesel. Biodiesel is a much younger industry at a much different stage of its development, both on the production side and the distribution side, than ethanol is, and the RFS is going to be really critical to that going forward. Now, on the corn ethanol, you could say, well, look, corn ethanol is the world's cheapest source of octane, so it's not like E10 is going anywhere, okay? I mean, you could probably end in the RFS and still have E10 be the base fuel in the United States based on its value alone. But even with corn ethanol, the RFS is huge because as those numbers advance, you break through the E10 level and all of a sudden consumers would have choice to E15, E30, E85. And yes, some of that would be cellulosic ethanol, and that's a good thing. But you'd also have an opportunity for corn ethanol to go above and beyond the RFS floor. And so it's really what I call an opportunity lost. No, you might not see corn ethanol plants shut down, but they won't be expanded. You won't see new ones built. And look, we're sitting on what? I don't think it's a record, but it's darn near a record carry out of corn expected from this harvest we just completed at the end of the year, end of the marketing year. So, you know, we're swimming in corn. We've got corn out, well, with the weather today, we got corn that's swimming. But, you know, we need to continue to grow this market so that we can get the price of corn back above the cost of production. We can get the rural economy going again, see land values go up, see people being hired at agribusinesses instead of fired. And this rule today will do nothing but continue the trend of the last 12 months, which is downwards for the rural economy. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about farmers and ethanol and this type of thing, but, you know, the biggest segment of people who are hurt by this are the consumers, because every single person in the United States benefits from cheaper fuel prices. And all you got to do is go to your gas station. Here in Des Moines, it's a 40-cent a gallon spread between E10 and E0. It's usually 20 to 40 cents around the country. And if we could get them access to E15 and E30 and E85, they could make that choice and save even more money. So this is not just a rural America thing. This is anybody who drives a car, anybody who buys a product that's moved by a car or a truck or a semi or whatever, is going to be hurt by this decision. So that's the part that kind of upsets me the most.